The power of confession. And I want you to, you know, grab a hold of this. The Holy Spirit's really making emphasis of this. And you need to start doing it in your lives. Much more of it. There is too much talk about things that are unprofitable, that don't bring anything to pass of what we want.
Amen.
We spend too much time saying things and talking things that don't bring benefit. Did you ever notice this? I mean, we take the Apostle Paul. He writes all these letters to churches and stuff. He never complains about the governments. He never complains. Those things aren't on his. They're not the things that are happening in the world are not the things that are on his mind.
Amen.
They're not the stuff he's troubled with. We look at Jesus. Do we see Jesus running around and complaining about the government? He was raised from the dead. He didn't knock Rome. We spend too much time thinking of things that are not profitable.
Amen.
About our age and time. Because God wants to bring wonderful things to pass, and we want wonderful things. And so, we need to spend more time speaking the things of God to bring to pass the things we would like to have and happen here.
Amen.
You know, where Jesus said to concern the Lord's Prayer, to pray that God's will is done in this earth like it is in heaven. You know, it says that we concerning leaders, we're supposed to pray for them. It didn't say talk about them, hold conversations, and let them, you know, go on the news media and talk as much
Amen.
Junk as you can.
Amen.
You know, he didn't say that. He said, you know, pray for those in authority. Why? So you can live a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. And I just want to say this.
Amen.
If you're not living a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty, it's because of what you talk about.
Amen.
It's what you pray about. Good preaching, Ed.
Yes. Yes.
We need to understand the power of these things. Concerning, we went to go to God about our government and things and stuff like that. We pray for our leaders. It's so we can live a quiet and peaceful life.
Amen.
See, when you do right in things, you can have peace.
Amen.
You know, everybody's waiting to have peace when everything gets good. I'm sorry. You might as well leave today and go to heaven because that ain't ever happening. It ain't ever happening. There is going to be there's going to be peace on earth. It's because Jesus is going to come back and set up his kingdom, and he's going to rule with a rod of iron.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get out of line, you'll get smacked. Other than that, you will not see it. There's not going to be peace like people.
Amen.
Yet in this earth, I have peace.
Amen.
I have peace and rest.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm not wringing my hands about the government. What's going on?
Praise
I'm not.
God.
Hallelujah. I pray. You know what? See, I got rebuked by the Lord a number of years ago. Well, this goes back to the Clinton days, and some of you, that's before your days, but the Clinton days. I would pray for Bill Clinton. And one day while I was praying for Bill Clinton, the Lord said this to me, "It doesn't do you a bit of good to pray for a president." Well, that was really nice to hear, wasn't it? That's exciting. You know? And he said, because when you pray for him and then you criticize everything he does.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you don't believe your prayers are working.
Mm.
Boy, you Presbyterians really get quiet when you're talking this
thing.
The amens and all that end when you... So... I said, Lord, I said, you're exactly right. And I repented, asked
Amen.
God to forgive me. And because, see, you can't do that. You can't pray for people and run them down.
Preach.
Right. You see, James wrote about the tongue. He wrote about, you know, you can't have fresh water and salt water run from the same fountain. It don't work. See, I've learned this a long time. It don't do any good to pray for the government. But see, I watched this when Biden was president. I watched Christians praying about the government. They're praying about the government, running Biden down all the time. They never believed it was working. They didn't believe their prayers. And you know, their prayers were going nowhere.
Amen.
Prayers weren't going anyplace. Thank God he intervened in our nation.
Amen.
So we need to understand these things. This is important. What we say, the power of confession. When you're praying, you're confessing things.
Yes.
You're saying things. And then when you walk away, what you saying?
Amen.
I know. I was really glad God called me out on that. You know, I don't want to waste my time praying.
Amen.
And I'm sorry to say, many Christians waste their time praying. They waste their time. Mm-hmm. Pray about things and waste their time. Don't waste your time. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you pray and ask God to do something, you know, I've had just another incident in that praying for an individual and concerning things, and some things came up concerning that individual, and I went to the Lord about it again, and the Lord told me this. He said, when you asked me concerning that person, He said, I began to move on him. He said, because you asked me. Mm-hmm. See, you can't look about what's going on.
Yeah.
He said, you asked me? You don't think I did it? I'm like, boy. See, I know God on a personal basis. If God don't ever talk to you like that, that way, you never listen to Him.
Amen.
I'm just telling you, because He will talk to you if you want to. Do you want to keep doing what's wrong? I don't.
Amen.
Have you given Him permission? You know? Or sometimes He might send somebody to you and you get irritated when they tell you.
Come on.
Good Lord, they told me the truth about myself. And I hated hearing it. Now I'm mad at them.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Oh, my.
Oh, my.
God has started this one all strange, didn't He? I'll tell you. But we're talking about confession. See, here in prayer, I go in before the Lord and I say, this Lord, out of my mouth, I'm saying the right thing. But I'm walking away and not acting like it's true. Mm-hmm. And what does it do? Many people, I've watched over the years how much people void their own prayers. Yes. They void them. See, because you've got to guard your mouth. You've got to guard yourself. What you put out there to God, you maintain that out there to God.
Amen.
When you change it here on this side, that is really a problem when it's changed. Now, you can't, you know, what did James say about a person who, he said, a person who's double-minded. In other words, one time this, one time. He said, don't let them think that they would ever receive it. Don't even think you're going to do it. Don't even get that thought in your mind that this thing's going to work.
Amen.
See, we want to come around. I want my prayers to be effective. You know, I know good prayers, but I need to learn to guard my mouth when I pray them.
Amen.
After I pray them, I need to learn to guard my mouth.
Amen.
Because I want them good prayers to come to pass. And so it takes work. It takes time to guard yourself and learn to do that. But it is powerful. I mean, think about this. When Jesus Christ Himself said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, He will do it for you.
Amen.
Now, I know this. We believe that to a degree, but we would do a whole lot different if we really thought that was true.
Amen.
We have a measure of faith toward that. But what a statement. I mean, I've said at times and meditated on that and thought, my God, what a statement that would be made. And yet the church talks about prayer and it's pretty wimpy. Even people considered good in prayer, it's sort of wimpy. We're struggling when Jesus said, no, whatever you ask the Father in my name, He'll give it to you. Mm-hmm. Well, what are you saying after that?
Yeah.
You still talking about your problems and your lack of this or I don't have that? Say, well, I've been praying. Well, you must not have been doing very good at it.
Mm-hmm.
You still got your mouth in the wrong direction.
Come on, preaching, man.
You can't, you can say what you want to me. I've been there.
Amen.
I've been be rebuked by the Lord.
Amen.
I got one up on you.
Amen.
So, don't tell me I don't understand.
Amen.
You don't understand my problem. Yes, I do. Unbelief. See, I can say that because I've been there.
Amen.
I've been there. We Christians, we know how to talk Christian lingo.
Come on.
But it's not always faith talk. It's just Christian lingo. We know what to say around other Christians.
Amen. That's right.
So they don't think you're an idiot. But don't worry, they do. No, we ain't wrapped tight. I just kidding. Hallelujah. We're going to look today. We're going to go over to Mark, the fifth chapter. We're going to look at some things here in people about confession and its power. And we want to grab a hold of this thing. This revelation, when I, not long after I first got born again, Kenneth Hagin had taught and used these, but God gave me, personally talked to me about these things and showed me and gave me insight into these two people concerning confession. And this is really hugely important. And I want you to grab a hold of this today, because if you understand, you get a hold of this, get a revelation, it'll really change you to understand the power of what you say and God's response to that. Because we're going to find out that Jesus said he never said anything the Father didn't say. We're going to find out his specific responses to what people's confession was. You're going to find this out. If you sit down and study the New Testament, I think they said there's actually, 19 different instances in the New Testament in Jesus, in the Gospel, where people were healed personally. Now, there's times it talks about multitudes and things, but this is personal. And you look at what those personal people healed. And this is one thing you're going to find out. They were healed exactly like they said. This is why a lot of Christians never get healed. Because they've never really said anything about their... They've never accepted... You can't receive without your mouth. You can't do it.
Amen.
What did you say? What did you say you were going to have? How did you say you were going to get it? We're going to find two people that got deliverances in two different ways because of what they said. You know, we go... Jesus comes and he goes to the centurion, and the centurion said, I got a servant, he's home, and he's sick. And he said, wants to be healed. Jesus said, well, I'll come and heal him. He said, no, you don't have to come to my house. You just say the word, he'll be healed. Jesus did exactly what he said. Yet other people, they came, they asked for something. We're going to have people here ask for something else. They got exactly what they said. What have you said? Have you distinct? We're so vague in our ideas about healing. We have never really said, I've learned. I am specific about what I want and how it will happen. And now we tell the Lord, if you want to do something else, you let me know and we'll do it. But I lay the groundwork because I see it. It's in Scripture. What you voice and what you said. So don't be surprised. Things don't work out well for you. You know, like person say, I want a new car. You know, I want a new car. Well, what if he sends you something? Well, you know, he could send you any car that's new. It might not be what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Be specific about things. Talk about healing. Mm-hmm. You know, I've learned this in the areas of healing. You know, people will come. People come to get hands laid on them to heal, and they have said nothing. Don't expect much. You know, when somebody's going to lay hands on me, I'm going to say before, I'm going to walk there, I'm going to say, when they lay hands on me, the power of God's going to go into me and heal me. That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. If you're going to go there, do you know what most people will do? This is one of the reasons I don't ever hardly talk to people about their problem, because all they do is make confession to you of all their problem. And they make no confession at all about the healing part.
Amen.
Nothing. So I like to keep their mouth shut. Maybe we can get something to them. Maybe. They know full detail about sickness, and they know that much about healing. They can tell you everything, and they can tell you every doctor's report. They can tell you every place they've been, and they checked them, and every shot they got in their hiney or in their arm or whatever it is. They can tell you everything, every operation and what they went through, and they can tell you all that stuff. And I'm a Christian, and I love the Lord. They don't know who He is. You don't know the Lord anymore, you know the Word. You don't know the Lord anymore, and you know the Word. The Word explains who He is, what He is, what He's like. In the Word's where I found Him. Hallelujah. See, we need to get over into this. We're going to talk today because if we get a hold of this, we can release awesome power.
Amen.
Awesome power. And without it, we don't. It comes to our voice. You know, by voice, Jesus sent disciples out, full of power.
Right.
Don't say he touched them, laid his hand in. He said, you guys go out, you heal the sick, raise the dead. He didn't say, we're going to have a service, we're all going to lay hands on you, and we're going to do all this ritual, and I'm going to wave wand over you, and then we're going to do this, and we'll sprinkle water, and then we'll do this and that, and then you'll be ready to go. He just spoke words, and you know what? They went. And you know what? They healed the sick, raised the dead, and cast out devils. On the voice of the Master. That's it. Today, everybody wants to feel a goosebump. I'll go cast out devils if God, you know, gives me some goosebumps when I get around and I have a feeling, then I'll go do this. I can lay hands on the sick if I get a feeling or I can. The voice of the Master ain't as good today.
Come on.
It don't hold the same authority. You see, we need to come back. I don't know, am I the only guy that thinks about this kind of stuff? See, I think about, you know, I read the Bible and I see it and I think, my God, we're shortchanging the Lord.
Amen.
We're asking for something special. The Word ain't enough.
Amen. Come on.
We're wanting something, you know. I want a move of God. Well, why don't you make one?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Come on.
I found out when I was a baby Christian how to get healing power going. I knew how to get it to work in me and heal me. I learned how that works. Well, it had to do with me. God already said He wanted to do all that.
Amen.
I didn't need a special anointing for Ed to get healed.
Come on.
What I needed to know is what the Word said, and when I found it out, believe it and say it was true. Say that. Don't say, I believe the Word is true. What Word? Tell me what the Word is you believe is true. When I hear you specifically say it, I might believe you're actually talking something. These people, oh, I believe the Bible is the Word of God. Yeah, hell's full of those people.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't get you nowhere.
Amen. Preach.
It won't get you anywhere what you believe God can do. It's what you believe He will do.
Amen.
That's the only thing we get. It's what He, you know, what He will do for me is the only thing I'm interested in. The rest of it doesn't matter. I don't care if God can turn all the clouds pink. I don't care. When I'm sick, I want healed. Pink clouds don't help Ed at all. You know? People, you know the devil? The devil does miracles like that and people think it's neat. You need to understand about the miracles of God. Look at them in the Bible. They were always to help people. They weren't show-off stuff. What causing, people say this gold flake stuff went on and the people going for that. Bunch of junk, it wasn't gold to begin with. But that was nobody's show. Nobody got healed by a gold flake. There's people say, you know, oh, my fillings in my mouth got turned to gold. What good does that do? They were just as good the other way. It don't matter. What does that performer do for anybody? That's nothing but demonic power in operation. And it wasn't real gold anyhow. And if you wanted the gold, if there was there for it, till you had a dentist removed and you paid, put the other fillings in, you know, if God would fix the tooth and there wouldn't be any fillings at all. Now, that's something. But you won't find that happening with the devil. He just puts on a show. I've been in meetings already where the devil was manifesting through people. It was put on a show. It was nothing but drawing attention to the person doing the ministry. It had nothing to do. People weren't getting that. And yet people, oh boy, this is really something. We're seeing things. You know, my words, the world will put on a better show in a movie than they could put on. Say, if I just want to go to the show, I'd go to the world. They do better shows. Las Vegas will do a better show than these people do. I ain't interested in a show. The world knows how to put on a show.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God blesses people. That's what He does. That's what, look at Jesus' ministry. Did He put on a show? Went around healing people, delivering people, getting people set free. Hallelujah. He didn't. People were hungry. He had a supernatural lunch. Hallelujah.
Amen.
My God. But what was it? It's to bless people. It wasn't to show off. Bless people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's my Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
That's right. Amen.
Glory to God. Well, we're going to look at Mark 5th chapter verse 21 says, now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to Him and He was by the sea. It says, and behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus, by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed and thronged him. Now, I want you to see, first of all, I want you to get a hold of this. Look at the words that the man said, because really, it's important when you go to the ending to see what the man said. First of all, he asked Jesus to come to his place. And what does Jesus do? He starts heading there. Now, I want you to understand this. There's a multitude. The multitude's all there for something, but it doesn't tell us they're saying anything specifically. This guy steps up and says something specifically, and Jesus says, I'm going to follow. I'll guarantee you the crowd probably had was three quarters of them were sick. And I'll guarantee you throats that they needed help. They have come and asked nothing. They're coming saying, there's nothing out of their mouths. There's nothing going on. We're going to find there's two people get help out of a multitude. We don't find anybody else in the multitude got in him. Mm-hmm. Hanging around Jesus ain't going to get you nothing.
Come on, preach.
This guy aimed and asked for specifics. Now think about that. There could have been all kinds of people that were, you know, right around that area. And he said, no, come to my house and you lay hands on her. And he says, my daughter will live. This is what's going to happen. She's sick, she's dying, but she'll live. If you touch her, she'll live. Yep, that's what's going to happen. See, he's saying, he's speaking faith. God is moved by your faith, not your problem.
Amen. Preach.
What's God doing? Now, you get a hold. This is powerful. I learned to do this as a young Christian. I found out this works. What are you saying?
Amen.
What are you saying? God will follow after your faith.
Amen.
See, people preach. See, most Christians, I found this, the reason most Christians need hands laid on them to be healed is because that's the way they're taught all the time. Faith, that's what they're taught. This is what you do. Well, I'm sorry. I always tell the story, when I got saved, the Lord would not tell me anybody to let them to lay hands on me to be healed or anything. He said, you learn to stand. Well, it became just as easy for me. I didn't have to chase anybody around or do nothing. And if I'm, well, every Christian can do this because I'm just doing it by the Word.
Amen.
But see, it depends. See, people get caught in one way. They're taught a certain way and they can never see anything. I never pray for myself concerning healing. Never. I always just say.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
See, when I found out you can say to this mountain, be thou, you know, move, cast, and see. I read James, and James said, if you control your tongue, you control your whole body.
Amen.
I thought, huh, well, this is the Bible.
Amen.
You can do it this way. But understand, God responds to faith. This is where this guy's faith at. God responds to his faith. If you are not getting response, there's something wrong with whatever your faith. You may have not said anything that amounted to anything.
Amen.
He's waiting for faith because he always responds. Jesus said, I don't do anything I don't see the Father do. Well, he must have seen the Father head to the house. Or Jesus Christ is a liar. I mean, you determine it any way you want. But he must have seen Daddy heading for the house. Said, we're going that way, Dad. So we're heading that way. There's we're going to the house. Why? God follows faith.
Amen.
What are you saying? See, it doesn't matter what you want in what's in your heart. You're going to have a response to that.
Amen.
What is your response? Sometimes your response can be what you do, or your response can kill your faith.
Amen. Preach.
So this guy comes, and this is wonder. Jesus said, "There's a multitude are thronging him." But we don't hear that anybody's doing it. Number one, why isn't Jesus responding to the throng? I can tell you, it's simple. There's been no faith released. One guy came and released faith. One guy came and released faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Smith Wigglesworth wrote this and said this, which I saw many years ago as a young Christian. He said, God will move over 1 million people just to get to one person
Amen.
In faith. You need to understand that. I found out I can get God to respond to me very quickly.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
The Bible says that He would respond to me quickly. The Bible says, if He don't respond to you quickly, something's wrong, and it ain't God.
Come on.
It ain't God. Hold it. It's not God. Get this out of our mind. Faith is, it's so simple. I watch people do this. Good people can't get God to respond to them. But you know, you cut anybody along the line, some people, they ain't so good. But they'll respond to God by faith and God will move. And there's other people, well, how did God do to him? I'm a better person. I live a better life than he does. No, you don't. You're faithless. Doing good things, they're nice. But you can't buy God.
Come on. Come on.
Faith is the currency of heaven.
Amen.
Faith is the currency. It's the coins that are going to buy you anything from heaven. It's faith. And you know what? It's given to you free. Faith comes by hearing it. It's wonderful. I don't have to get a printing press. I don't have to try to do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We already got it. Somebody printed it for me.
Amen.
This is the $1 billion book.
Amen.
These words are worth a fortune. And everybody's blabbing everything else. These words believed move heaven.
Amen.
Angels respond to the word of God, we're told. The voice of the word. Are we putting voice to the word or are we putting the voice to whatever? Angels are confused. They're believing God for a second and saying another thing. And they're like, which way are we going to go? Which way are we going to go? So we see this, God. Jesus is following a person's faith. Now, number one, if he had faith, therefore he had heard what Jesus preached. So, in other words, he had saw Jesus lay hands on people. He knew that that would work. Now, we come along with this. Here's another one. Here's something different. It says, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years, suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. So Medicare couldn't get it done. Medicare couldn't do it. Medicaid didn't do it. You know? State Farm Insurance didn't work. Just nothing's working. My God. Here we go. Now it goes on to this. It said verse 20. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said... Really, it should say in the past tense, for she had said. It should actually speak in the past tense because of what it was. She had said this. She said, if only I can touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. She said the right words. She said words of faith. She said, this is what's going to, if I can touch him, I'll get healed. See, like I said, you got somebody come, you want somebody to lay hands on you, you should say out of your mouth, not just a mimic thing. You shouldn't even be going to have somebody lay hands on you because you probably won't get nothing anyhow if you ain't faith about it anyway. She said, look what she said. She said, if I can only touch his clothes. Now, before she got there, if I can just get, see, you need to understand, did her actions follow her faith? Did the guy, did his actions follow his faith? Go to my house. Her actions. See, I can always tell if a person's in faith. I heard people make confessions, but then they don't do and don't act in line what they said they believed.
Amen.
It's not hard to tell what people are believing. It's not hard. You know, there's times that I stopped and myself and I thought, you know, what I'm believing is true. That ain't what I'm doing. Uh-oh, Ed. Let's get some actions in line here. Let's start acting like this is true. You know, if you went and asked people, somebody to pray for you and you were having problems and you believe the prayer worked, why would you go to get somebody else again to pray?
Come on.
You wouldn't
do it because you didn't believe that. If you don't see something or feel something, it ain't happened yet and I gotta get my flesh satisfied before I'm going to believe anything. Well, you ain't going to believe nothing anyhow. See, many people do this, and I see it said. They have been had hands laid on them too many times. Mm-hmm. And they're further away. They have never come to the place they actually believe they ever received anything. They haven't come. They have never made a confession that they ever got anything. They're still trying to get something. See, we got to get on thinking. Why go through those motions when you can have the real thing and God will move for you?
Amen.
God will move for you. Hallelujah. Because he said he would.
Amen.
If you seek, you find. If you knock, it's open to you. Is that true? Or are these just nice religious words that are said to try to make Ed feel good while the devil hauls him off and kills him? See, we've got to get thinking, folks. We've got to start. Is this stuff is true and it's wonderful, it's great, it's powerful. If when I call out to God, the Word says He hears me, there's no more discussion on the subject.
Amen.
You walk up to most Christians to pray and say, you think God heard you? Well, I think He did. Well, you're in unbelief. I know He did. Ed prayed. If I ask Him, He heard me.
Amen.
I don't care. You can make as much noise as you want. You can set off atomic bombs. It don't matter. God hears Ed when he talks.
Amen. Amen.
Get over this fact. When you're talking nutty, He hears you too.
Amen. Amen.
We want to think about these things, folks. Well, she said, if she touched his clothes, bring me hope. Says, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. Now, I just want to stop there. First of all, this thing started off and said she heard about Jesus. Well, what did she hear? See, faith comes by hearing. How did she arrive at faith? How did she know? Well, we understand this. She had been at a Jesus meeting. How did she know? Whoever told her or talked to her had to tell her things that Jesus said. And the person would have had told her that people could touch him and they'd get healed. How could she have faith that that would happen? How would she? You know, we don't make up our own, well, some people do. We don't make up our own Bible here. I see people come along and they make statements about certain things that God will do. And I think, you better find a Bible that has that one in. If you want to have faith, So in other words, she was told something. She is responding, and her response is this. You don't have to come to my house. I'll come get you. I'll come and touch you, and I'll be well. If I can just touch your clothes, I'll be healed. Now, in the book of Acts, it talks about people putting people out on the street. Even if the shadow of the apostles would fall on them, that they would be healed. That statement is in there, but we really don't have anything from a scriptural standpoint that people get healed by shadows. You just get in proximity many times. I will tell you this, in Jesus' crowd. Jesus is walking in his crowd. Number one, that woman touches him, and Jesus makes this statement. He knew power went out of him. Now, understand this. Power only went out of him because somebody was in faith. This woman's in faith. That means the entire crowd is not in faith. Nobody else is getting healed. Well, they ain't faith for healing. I don't know. Maybe they were there for a fish lunch. I don't know. But nobody's getting healed except this woman in the crowd. This is the only one. Why? This is the only person with faith. Don't think because you go to some big meeting and all these people jump shot and say everything and there's a lot of faith there. Brother Hagin said this about his meetings. He told us. He said, you know, now they go and he would, like with camp meeting, I said, they said only about 25% of people that come forward to get healed, get healed. Well, if you talk to the rest of them, they all think they're big faith people. You see, that doesn't mean the rest of them don't believe, but none of them are releasing their faith. They're not releasing it. We're taught this thing, believing is a big deal, and it is if you're going to release it, but it's not if you don't. Go over to Acts, if you will, to Acts the 14th chapter. Verse 9 talks about God. Paul's in Lystra. Now, it's the first time he's in the place. So he's preaching. And he said he intently looks at this guy, and he said he saw this guy who was lame from his mother's womb. This guy had never walked. And he looks at him, and he perceives this guy got faith. He has faith, but he ain't healed. He's got faith. And he's not healed till Paul says, stand up on your feet. Paul got him to act on what was in him. I don't think everybody's always going to be happy because that's the place that they took him out later and stoned him. But what I want you to understand, you can have faith. And Christians do this all the time. They have faith. And what they keep doing is trying to work to get faith. When you got it, you can do everything you want after that. You got it. It is, you know. I got a car out here. I can go and pray, get on my hands and knees. I can do all kinds of things. I can run around and cry to all you guys and ask you money for my car. And my car is sitting out here. It's mine. This is Christian. Healing belongs to them. And they're going through all kinds of shenanigans. Get your mouth open, people. Say the right things. Start saying the right stuff. Concerning finances, saying the right stuff. The reason if you don't want to give is because of what you're saying.
Amen. Come on.
If you say the right things and you start speaking faith, you'll follow it.
Amen.
Faith is great. It's a power that will just pull you. Just like with Jesus. Did it pull power out of Jesus? Pulled power out of Him.
Mm-hmm.
See, now I know this is true. Of ministry, over the years, in places, I've been in other places in the world, laying hands on people. Especially if there is a specific healing anointing on me at the time, I can always tell if a person receives. I can always tell power goes out of them. I can tell when a person don't. See, a lot of times we minister to people by faith. You're just doing it by faith. But when there's an anointing there, you can always tell when the anointing flows. You can tell it. I can tell him with anointing. You know, I'll come many times, stand up front here, and I first start. The anointing isn't there, and all of a sudden, the anointing starts to flow. See, I know that. It's like, whoo, then it just comes on. It starts. This, see, now I'm enjoying myself. This, it ain't me no more. That's right. We got her in gear now. We've been idling before. Now we got it running, and the air conditioning's on, and the whole thing. We're out. But see, you know when it flows. It's just like touching Jesus. See, the power. See, I've had this happen to me. The power on me so strong, I walked in front of people and they fell over. Just going by. It was the power of God. I was in me. I was down in Lima, Peru. Some missionaries. And the guy that was leading our team and that stuff wanted to minister to us and that stuff. And we were in his service. They told us to come down and stand and pray. Well, we were standing down there. And the person standing next to me, they started up there. I could feel the power. When he walked off the platform and walked down below, I could feel the power pushing down our way. I could feel it pushing. I said, we ain't going to be standing when he comes down here. I said to the guy next to me. He said, well, you think so? I said, I know so. We went. Because he went down toward us a little bit and it was like, boom. You could feel it coming. You could just feel it. It's the power of God. See, we don't know. Today, everything is, I don't know, people... I don't know if they can't read the word. It's like, if power flowed out of Jesus, how can we do the ministry of Jesus and we don't have experiences in these areas? That's the way it is. See, a ministry by faith. Now, I can get things done just as much by faith. It's like I tell the story about a guy who had a metal bar in his back. And I laid hands and prayed him. I had been praying for people with a healing anointing. And then that anointing left, and I said the service was over, and he came up afterwards. When I ministered to him, it was no anointing on me. I just prayed for him. He said he had back problems. He didn't tell me what his back problems was. He just said he had back problems. So I prayed for his back. Well, it turned around. He had a metal rod in his back. It disappeared.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
He turned around and called his head, went to the doctor, and came back and said, the doctor said, that metal thing's gone. It's not even in my back anymore.
Hallelujah.
Well, as a miracle took place, and I just want to let you know, I didn't do it. I'd have been doing that stuff if I could. If I could make metal bars disappear, I could make a fortune. I'd be so darn rich, I'll tell you what. No, Ed can't do that.
Amen.
That happened. That was God. And you know what? I just prayed by faith. We just believed the word by faith. I prayed for him, and that took place. And so, there wasn't specific anointing. Now, the anointing's there. You may find certain things happen with the anointing there because the presence of the anointing may do things. You may see gifts and manifestations of the Holy Ghost take place, which are really outside of just your normal faith things and stuff that you do. But here we see this lady. She makes a statement about what to do. So Jesus said to her in verse 34, he said, and he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. You know, I like this because he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. See, the faith in the Word of God, God's Word, you know, Jesus is the Word of God. God gives us that. We make it ours. See, until you make the Word yours, till you make what God gives you of that faith He gives it, you make it your faith. It's my faith. He's given it to me. It's His gift to me. Do you treasure the Word? I treasure the Word. It's God's gift to Ed. God gave me the Word. It's His gift to me. I'm on a tree. I'm not going to act like it. I'm not, you know, people say, oh yeah, this is really, my Bible is really important to me. Well, not till you start treating it like those words are valuable and treat, where you cherish them in what you say and what you do. Other than that, see, these words are powerful things. God gave you the ability in this earth, whatever you ask the Father in the name of Jesus to come to pass. It's a phenomenal thing. You say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea and doubt not in your heart. But believe those things that you say will come to pass, you'll have whatever you say. You speak to this mulberry tree and you tell it to be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the ocean. It will obey you. Now I believe we haven't succeeded in going further because we talk about being believing, but we really don't believe this stuff. We're on a low level of it. And you know what? You can't grow till you crawl off of your high ladder and come down and ask God, say, man, I want to get to be able to believe something. I want to rise up to Jesus said we're supposed to be able to do. I'd like to go there. No, I'm waiting for God to take me there. Well, you ain't ever going.
That's right.
It comes from the Word. And if I think I'm really someplace, I ain't nowhere.
Amen.
I'm with Paul. I'm looking through a glass darkly. But one day, praise God, we're going to get face to face. But I tell you what, I'd rather get a better look before I get face to face. I'd rather see through this glass a little bit better. See, we don't pat ourselves on the back. Don't do that. It only sets us back. I believe one of the great things that has hurt the Spirit-filled church and what I get called the Word people is their pride. I think it's been one of the most hurtful things is our pride. God don't move. It's just us. And a lot of it's just been us. We've learned how to organize and how to bring people in. It's like one minister said, I can bring more people. I can get more people in church than I do than doing it through the spiritual stuff. I can get more people in. Why? He learns out what motivates people mentally. And you know what? I'll guarantee you, his church is dead spiritually. I've been in them. I've been in people's churches. I've been in large churches. And I'll tell you what, I've taught Bible schools and had students come in from some of these big churches, and it's like, oh my, some of the hardest people to teach. It's like, I get Baptists get more into the Word than I could get them because they think that they're some superior place. I'm sorry. We ain't, none of us ever went to this superior place. Hallelujah. I don't know about you. I think I'm out of third grade now. Kenneth Hagin said, I hate to think I'd go to heaven this dumb. And then he looked at us and said, what about you? And I'm like, oh my God. He's right. He's right. What about me? What about me?
Amen.
I wasn't one of those prideful people that hurt my feelings. I shouldn't talk to people like that. Yes, he should. And you're the person he should have been talking to.
Amen. Preach.
Amen. Hallelujah. I only have what God's given me. And I found this out. He told me personally about this. One of the reasons he said, because I asked him, why do you reveal so much stuff to me through the Word? Why do you do it? He said, because you always give it away. See, what you're doing? Hoarding things to yourself. And just, I want to have this nice Christian life, me, and have the money to do what I want. And all this, I want to have, yeah, this is what I have. No, it's about giving this stuff away.
Amen.
Man, I'll tell you, these valuable words, these coins of faith, I can't outgive it. It just keeps coming. And I just keep getting a bigger bunch. I give coins away and just more just pour in and show up. Hallelujah. It's wonderful.
Amen.
Well, let's think of this, Harry. Dawn of your faith has made you whole. Go well, be healed of your affliction. Now, listen to this. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house and said, your daughter's dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? Here comes words. Words about a different situation. Now, we got to follow this because you're going to, number one, you want to follow Jesus. And you can't follow Jesus without listening to what he says. This is how you follow him. See, the Holy Spirit takes what belongs to Jesus and reveals it to us. You need to understand that the Holy Spirit, he's not into what a lot of people want him to be. See, the Holy Spirit will lead you in line with Jesus. Back in before I graduation at Rhema was in May of 89, and so it had been about like in April. And I had an encounter with a supernatural encounter with the Holy Spirit. And there's one thing as I learned through that experience in talking with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit talked to me just like as if a person was standing there talking to me. I didn't see anything or anything like that, but just spoke just as clear. And I asked him questions. And this is what I found out about the Holy Spirit. He sold out 100% to Jesus and not specifically to you. As long as you cooperate with Jesus. And I learned why Jesus said, I'll forgive you of anything, but the Holy Spirit won't. The Holy Spirit is hooked on Jesus Christ. And when we honor and value Him and who and what He is and what He's done instead of us and what we've done, the Holy Spirit generously reveals to you the things of Jesus Christ. We're not big deals. Jesus is the big deal. He uses us. I talked to on Wednesday night in teaching. We're like a wire in the circuit. That's all we are. A wire, a conduit where power can flow through. That's what we are. If there ain't nothing of God flowing through it, it's just like electricity. You can plug anything you want into it, but no electric's flowing through that circuit. It don't matter. What makes us what we are is Jesus. He makes us what we are. And you know what? There's nothing. People say, well, I'm a nothing. No, I'm not. I'm a wonderful piece of wire. I'm a piece of wire that can handle the power of God. Woo! That's what He made me through the new birth. He made a conduit of heaven's power in the earth. Am I living like I'm a conduit, or am I living like, you know, I'm a dam in a river, and I'm trying to get all the power to come and stop at me? Produce for me and do what I want. Now, this is a thing that flows. Amen. And it comes from Jesus. And you keep it flowing. And the Holy Spirit, He's in love with Jesus. And I tell you, His honor. See, when the Father gave all authority in heaven and earth to Jesus, the Holy Spirit does not operate under His authority or power. He's under the authority and power of Jesus Christ. Heaven. The Father don't answer prayer unless through Jesus. That's what Jesus said. What Jesus said. Well, is that true or not? No, people pray all the time and don't even mention Jesus. Don't even. Christians. Don't even mention Him. You have trouble finding songs with His name in them. Hallelujah. We need to understand when we talk about words and the power of words. That one short word, Jesus, entails all the power of heaven. That word will cast out devils. It will heal the sick. It will raise the dead. That one word. Oh, we think you have to come up with paragraphs of stuff. You know, praying long prayers. When if we'd have just believed in that name. Just believe. Cast out devils in the name. You don't have to pray to get a devil out. In the name of Jesus, get out!
Amen.
Let's have a prayer meeting. And it should be to cast the stupid thoughts out of the minds of the people praying. Well, so here comes words. Now, you have a choice of receiving words. Look at Jesus' response. As soon as Jesus heard the words that were spoken, as soon as He heard those words, He said to the ruler of the synagogue, He didn't give him time to respond. Know this. When something said that is off from what the direction you're heading, you think twice before what you say. You better. Jesus bought to stop. Before he could say anything, Jesus butted right in. Hold it. We want to bring this thing to a stop. We're going to bring this thing to a stop. Jesus had something to say about this. He said to the ruler, do not be afraid, only believe. What did he say? First thing, don't be afraid. I will tell you, when something bad comes, fear comes, and most people receive it immediately. No. Don't you be afraid. Don't you? Don't matter what is said, what does the Word say? And I can tell you this is the truth. It's not because I'm so darn spiritual. I listened to people who were spiritual, found out things to do and put them into practice and found out it worked. I have never been in a situation where whether it's death, whatever, something's happening, something's going on that's really serious. I've never had one time that God hasn't spoken to me. And I will tell you why. Because that's when I speak to Him. I don't respond right away to the situation. You don't respond. You don't start your words. People want a miracle saying wrong things. They are not speaking miracle words when they see the problem. They will discuss the problem and talk the problem. And they, if they had any faith, they just killed it. Why we have to, I don't know why we do this, and we all, we just feel we got to respond to stuff. We just feel you got to, you know. This is why when somebody dies, they can't get over nothing. Because there's been too many, 2 billion words of so-called sympathy, but no spirituality. We want sympathy. I want God!
Amen.
I want heaven to move. I'm in trouble. I want heaven to move in my behalf.
Amen.
God, give me comfort while I talk the wrong thing. You're going to follow your words. You're going to follow your words. You're going to follow your words. God, I want comfort. Why? Because you ain't giving me none. I need help. I'm uncomforted. Well, try to have comfort saying the wrong things. Talk discomfort and try to feel comfort. Let me know if that works. Hallelujah. You know, they said, you know, Bob Scott died, and I thought, and it really struck me, but I thought this, gee, Bob's in heaven with his dad. He got to see his dad.
Yeah.
You know what, too many people? Heaven ain't really real to people.
Come on.
It's only real in a book.
Yep. Come on.
It's real in a book. It's real in the book. You want to get heaven to move here? Act like it's here.
Amen.
Jesus said, the kingdom's in you. Look, do we really live like that?
Amen.
You know, I know people say, you know, we're praying, we're reaching out to heaven. I don't even like to use those words. I'm not reach heaven come to visit Ed. You go to heaven and you know what? The Holy Ghost ain't there. He's here. He ain't there. He's here. He ain't, if he's in heaven, then he ain't here. So he's going to send the Holy Ghost. See, we know very little about this. When we read the Bible, we look at the Old Testament, New Testament, sort of talk the same. When the Bible talks about things, the Holy Spirit that we know today in operation in the earth only happened. He didn't live here in the earth in the Old Testament. Didn't exist. If He was already here, what was Jesus asking the Father to send the Holy Ghost for if He's already here? See, I don't think Christians think 2 seconds when they read the Bible. That what, you know, we're so drilled in our thinking and that stuff, we don't even pay attention to words that are on the page. I'm living in a special age. I'm living in a special time. There has been nothing like the Church of Jesus Christ in the earth. It never has been. Thank God for what Abraham did and Isaac and Jacob and all them. But they would have loved to live in Ed's day. They would have loved to live in Ed's day. Ed's on this side. Ed's the temple of God. I ain't offering sacrifices. I ain't trying to get a hold of God. I ain't putting stones down and killing goats and bulls and whatever else. I'm not trying to reach a God. I'll tell you what, I can touch Him.
Amen.
And the Bible said, He's touched by my infirmities, my weaknesses, and man, I got Him and so do you. Now you don't want to admit Him, do you? But you got Him anyhow, so get over yourself. But you know what? He knows we're down here, we're human beings down here, operating in this stupid flesh, you know? Thank God. We have glory on the inside, but we got stupid on the outside. Okay, and we're down here in this thing and He knows it. Because it is an infirmity. And He has great compassion on us. That's why you want to believe the Word's true. When the Word says what it says, hallelujah, believe it, hallelujah. This is God talking. We find out in Jesus, verse 38 here, then He came to the house of the ruler. Well, first of all, it says that He permitted no one to follow Him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. You know what Jesus told the crowd? Go jump. Why? You don't go raise the dead with all the unbelievers.
Amen. Come on.
I will tell you this, and whether people want to hear it or not, that's lots of times why dead can't get raised. Too much unbelief around. God can't move in an atmosphere of unbelief. You need to understand, in any church it's that way. People getting healed. Unbelief, too much unbelief will keep people from getting healed. Too much unbelief. That's why, if you want to see it working, then you better learn how to cooperate with it and how to walk by faith. You need to learn it yourself. Why? I don't want to be a drag on the crowd when this stuff's going on. That's why you'll say some of these big meetings you go to, one of the reasons He sometimes move with God the way it does, because there's enough believers there in faith that can get something going. I've learned this a long time ago. It ain't the whole crowd.
Amen.
I worked in Brother Hagin's meetings and camp meetings when he used to have them down at Convention Center in Tulsa, and I was down there. And I'll tell you what, working around people and having to minister, and I was in the handicapped section and that stuff, helping people there and that stuff. And man, you're talking to people and things and stuff like that. A lot of people come and they want something. But you know, and they'll say, like, you know, we follow after Brother Hagin's ministry. Yeah, they must follow, go to the meetings, but they ain't ever listen to nothing taught, because getting people over to areas of faith, it's a struggle. It's a struggle. Brother Hagin come out and tell people exactly what they would do and what they should be doing if they want to get healed in these meetings. And you can guarantee, you go over the handicap section and the majority of them are not going to do, they won't do that. He'd tell me, and you know what? I found this out. The people who listened to him got healed. And the people who didn't get healed. He'd go tell you exactly. Why would you go to a meeting to hear a guy preach and you don't believe what he says anyhow?
Amen. Come on.
What on earth? Hey, I found it's the majority ain't listening.
Amen.
People don't listen. We got to listen. Well, I want you to see something here. It says, verse 38, when Jesus came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw the turmoil and those who wept and wailed loudly, he said, Now understand, this is a Middle Eastern book. Did you ever go see those on TV when they have Middle Eastern funerals and how those people act? Oh, man. You got to do it. If you want to get some faith to work, you got to get far from them. Well, listen to what he says. So, now listen, here's Jesus. When he came in, he said to them, why make this commotion and weep? He said, the child is not dead but sleeping. I'm going to show you why he said that. The child's dead. We know the child's dead because Luke wrote about it. Luke wrote and said concerning this child, when that child was healed. Luke said this in Luke 8:55. He says, then the spirit returned and she arose immediately. Her spirit returned. James said, the body without the spirit is dead. Your spirit leaves your body dies. So So her spirit, she was dead. What is he doing? What is Jesus doing? He's following the words of Jairus. If you come to my house, lay hands on my daughter, she will live and not die. He is following Jairus' faith. Jesus hasn't changed. The Lord told me, this is why many people lose healings, can't walk and think, because the situation changes, they change what they say. They change what they're believing. They change. See, his word was that Jesus followed his faith, followed Jairus' faith, not what he could believe. He followed Jairus and he cooperated. He said, she's just sleeping. She ain't dead yet. Why? Because Jairus said, you touch my daughter, she live and she ain't going to die. So we ain't messing with the dead. We're just going to wake her up. Because Jairus said so. This is why. Guard your mouth. Guard your mouth. Stuff happens. People start saying things and saying things. And everything falls apart.
Amen.
Understand, your God will follow your faith.
Amen.
What would He give and put faith in you and then He wants to operate against it? Wouldn't that be stupid?
Yep.
This is where this man could believe. So what if... like Wanda and I, we learned... Wanda said, I asked her if she wants to agree with something. Where can you stand? I'm going to go where she can stand. It don't do me any good to go where I can stand if she can't. Right. And the opposite way. It don't matter what your partner wants. Where can they stand in faith? You find out what they actually can believe. And you know what? Wanda and I have had huge success in this. Huge success. We find out what the other one is believing, and I just stick. If she says she believes, wants to believe, she can believe this way, then Ed's believing that way. I'm with Jesus, because Jesus is with her on it.
Amen.
I'm getting with Jesus. I'm not going to oppose it. People oppose all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter what I can believe. What can the other person believe? Well, if I'm agreeing with them, I have to find out where they're at. Most people want you to agree with them in prayer, and they really ain't standing in nothing. And people say, well, I agree with you. I've told people, I don't care. I can't agree with you. You ain't going nowhere. You find out.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I did that with a lady one time. You know, she, doctor told her she had blocked arteries. They told her she had to have an operation right away. She had an operation. She's going to die. I knew this. She's a Christian lady, but I knew this. I told her, I said, you're not ready, Gwen. You're not in faith. I said, you're just going to get what the world gets out of this thing. That's what you're going to have. Because you're not faith. You've done nothing concerning faith in this thing. I knew it. I told her. I said, I want you to... Now, number one, you got to know what you can do and what you can't do. Now, you don't do this because Ed did it. I told her. I knew this. I just said to her, I said, you ain't going to die. I said, you take 2 weeks. And you get yourself into the Word till you find out where you can stand. And I said, this is what will happen. You tell me where you can stand, and I'll guarantee you this, it'll work. You tell me where you can stand, and I will agree with you, and I will guarantee you, you're going to have exactly what we agreed on.
Amen.
She took 2 weeks. We talked about it. And she said, you know, I believe I can help this operation go through it. I believe I'll come out and don't want to have pain and stuff. I believe I can go through this thing. God's going to help me. I said, good. We agreed on it. She had exactly that. She went in and had the operation. They took her to the recovery room and they allowed me to go in the recovery room. And I walked in the recovery room. You'd have thought that lady had been, you know, had was operated 2 or 3 days earlier. She just laying there looking fine. She's looking there. I'll never forget. The surgeon walked in and he walked over and he picked up her chart and he looked at it and looked at her and he says, my God, you look good. You'd have never... And you know what? She never had a bunch of pain. She never had none of that stuff. That's what we agreed on. The reason people don't get is because they have never, ever come to a place, have ever made a spiritual decision.
Mm-hmm.
They talk about what they want or like to have. It don't matter. What can you believe? This is why you need to learn to walk by faith when nothing's bad's going on.
Amen.
Because if something bad happens, you may not have time to get yourself over to where you can really believe good on anything. Some things will take you a long time to get yourself over in the areas of belief where you can stand.
Amen.
Now, I know everybody wants it. I tell stories and everybody wants what's in my story, but you really spent 10 years beforehand studying like I did to, to get yourself in a place where when now something happened, I can stand up. And I can't stand up because I ain't been, you know, this is just a new thing to me. You know? Mm-hmm. You need to understand that this is just the way it is.
Yeah.
People need to get a hold of this. We teach a very shallow faith message. Faith comes. And for some reason, some people, it just takes so long for them to finally get a hold of something. I don't understand, you know. You know, I just decide right away as soon as I hear it's true, Ed, you're just going to have to come in line. You know, you're just going to have to get with the program, Ed. I'm not, I've had people say, well, I'm trying to believe. Well, just forget it. Nobody ever tried to believe. Mm-hmm. You either do or you don't. Let's get down here. Nobody ever tried to believe. That never happened.
Amen.
I'm trying to believe something. I mean, how would you do that? How would you try? Actually, I believe it's wrong, but I'm trying to believe it. You know what? You ain't gonna ever come to faith saying, hey, there's something wrong with me. I'm not believing what the Bible says. Well, then you classified yourself. You'll know what to do. But as keep playing those stupid in-between games, you'll be there 10 years from now in that in-between game, playing those in-between Christian games, talking like you're spiritual. Well, be like Jesus. Put the unbelief out.
Amen.
I'll tell you this, people get offended. You go to the hospital and you throw all the unbelievers out of the room, they'll all get mad.
Amen. That's right.
Because the family wants them all in there. They want the person healed with all the unbelievers in it too.
Come on, preach.
God can just walk. Look, I got a little bit of experience over the years. I've been a few places. This ain't my first ride. I've been on this horse a few times. And I've talked to people that have been on the horse longer than me. And they're talking. So, hallelujah. Well, Jesus said, she's sleeping, and said, and they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of those who were with him, entered with the child, was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha kumai, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. It says, but he commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and said that something should be given to her to eat. Do you notice that Jesus said, don't tell anybody what happened? Say, well, I'm sure. You'd say, well, everybody knew that he raised her from the dead. No, they don't. They think he just woke her up.
Yep.
They think. And he said to them, don't tell them. Don't tell them. Isn't that interesting? No. See, Jairus believed that she, you know, said about you lay hands on her. Jesus said, yeah, we're going to go with that one. We're just going to go wake her up. Okay. Jesus said, leave it at that. There's another thing. People never read that. Didn't you ever wonder why? Because most people think, well, he knows you raised him from the dead. No. He told her that they were asleep. She was asleep. They probably said, yeah, you know, we thought she was dead, but she wasn't. She was just unconscious. That's, you know. You know what? People full of unbelief don't need to know any better than that. Don't cast pearls before swine. See, we have really strange ideas. But do you see it? What I want you to see, Jesus followed faith words. It didn't say, He looked in her heart and saw what they really believed, and he, don't say that. He followed words. Faith words. I know faith words when I hear it. I know faith words when I hear it. See, I hear people sometimes and they'll say things that sound like faith words, but I know they ain't in a position. I know they're not. I know. Faith words, you can tell when people speak faith words. You know, I've listened over the years, people ministering to people and stuff like that. Every once in a while, you get you get a remarkable person will come up and say, when you lay hands on me, the power of God is going to come in me and heal me. Well, the rest of them would never, mostly never say that because, well, what if it happens and it don't work? So I don't want to look like a fool. So I ain't going to say it. They're really not faith. So you lay hands on me, the power of God's going to go into me and heal me.
Amen.
Now people stand there silent, waiting for something. People come up praying in tongues. What are you sitting there praying in tongues for? You should have done all that a long time ago.
Amen.
You should come up and your mouth should be saying what you're going to have.
Amen.
How these people, you know, ministers say, well, you know, pray in tongues while you get down through here and that stuff. No, confess. Keep, start saying the right thing about you're in a healing line. You know, we ain't praying for the missionaries. What are you doing? See, me, I don't. I just down there in my words, he's laying hands. He'll say, praise God, when he gets to me, he's going to lay hands on me. I'm going to be healed. That's what's going to happen. Or he comes down and lays hands on me. That anointing is going to go into me in the name of Jesus. That's what's going to happen. That's what I'm getting. And you know what? I'll walk away. I say, thank you, Lord God, I got that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's mine. I have it.
Amen.
And people walk totally silent. Just silent. We're afraid to say anything. We're afraid, you know, that, you know, people think I'm strange. Weird. You know, what if I do this and it don't work? Don't worry. It won't work for you.
That's right.
You're guaranteed it.
Mm-hmm.
It won't work for you.
That's right.
You're guaranteed it. So you can't go in that place. I don't care what people think of me.
Amen.
I'd rather be healed than you all think I'm crazy. I don't care.
Preach.
I'm healed. Go get sick. Have a big time.
Preach.
I want to be well. If I sound like a nut, well, good. Hallelujah. If Jesus heals crazy people, I'm at the front of the line.
Amen. Amen.
You know? My God. I'm blind Bartimaeus. I just keep yelling and the crowd says, don't say nothing. Don't say nothing. And he said, he even got louder. And when he got to Jesus, what did Jesus say? Do you believe I can do this for you? And he said, yeah. Well, yeah, I've been believing. I've got this trouble for a long time. And he was a good American. And he said, and I've been blind from mom's womb. You know how tough this has been. You know how... Until he got done talking, he'd have got nothing. He said, do you believe I can do this? He said, yep. He said, well, go your way. His eyes were open. Pretty good.
Amen.
Words. What? Words. Jesus asked for words.
Yep.
He asked for words. Hallelujah. We can learn and be trained through this where he doesn't have to ask us the words. We have them. You train yourself till you're full of those words and you got the right words to say.
Amen.
When you go to pray, you don't just up and jump and pray. Make sure the words that you're going through and you're going to, whatever you're doing, these are words you're asking God to fulfill. I've watched people pray and end up with something they asked for which they wish they had never got. Think about it. Think about what you really want. What is it a desire? We're talking to God. What is it you want? What does the Word say about these things? Look, and taking time to find what the Word says. People don't do that. We've had all this religion taught us. Well, just pray, just pray. Oh yeah, just pray. God answers prayer. Let's put a bumper sticker on our forehead and let's walk around. Yeah, just pray. We got Joe Biden because the church was just praying. That's why we had that. That's how we got there. That's how we got Obama. Church was just praying. But nobody said, that's like telling a kid, just talk. No matter what you say, just talk. The power of these words. Listen, you find the words of God.
Amen.
And you take them to God. And I just encourage you, you take those words to God. And you treat them like a treasure before Him. Lord, this is what you said. I am just so thankful, Lord. You're a God who never lies. You're a God who always tells the truth. And you gave us these wonderful words because this is what you desire to do. This is one thing I've learned. See, if anybody wants me well, it's Jesus. I am never trying to get Him to heal me. I never even give that a thought. He went to the cross. He got beaten up, done all kinds, nailed in the cross, had to go to hell to pay my penalty, and He'd want me sick? Who ever heard of anything so stupid? What on earth would He have done that for? Why would He have taken the penalty for everything that this moron did? And then on top of it, want me to suffer with what He died for? It doesn't make any sense. His words are just to be cherished. Seek and you'll find. Knock, it'll be opened unto
Amen.
You. Everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. I mean, these words are so phenomenal that it's like, wow, this is definitely a fairy tale book to many. It sounds fun. It's like people like to watch entertaining things. We like to watch people watch movies or superheroes or supernatural things that take place because people get entertained. The Bible's become that type of entertainment to many Christians. We read about all these things. Isn't our God something? My God is nothing if He won't do anything for me. He's a nothing to me. No, it's He does this thing for us. He wrote this. This is His letter to us. Of what? This is His will for your life and my life. This is what it is. He said to Ed, seek you'll find, knock, it'll be open to you. Anything you ask the Father in my name, He'll give it to you. If you ask anything according to my will, I hear you. People say, I'm trying to pray through to heaven. Why don't you get in the Word and use the Word in prayer? That ends all this trying to get through to something. Heaven's open to the church. It's never been closed.
Amen.
It's open to the church. We're the church of Jesus Christ. If you're the temple of God, how could heaven not be open? You have the Holy Ghost. And people say, well, it seems like the sky is brass. I don't care what the sky turns into. Ends in communication with God.
That's right.
Amen.
You believe and listen to all this religious stuff said from Old Testament things that had nothing to do with us. We're sitting on this side and God's saying, man, I've been wanting to fellowship with these folks down here. I can just get them to come over and talk to me. And we'll have a good time. No, we're trying to break through. Believing the right things. Talking to our Lord about the right things. Speaking to Him. Trusting Him that He's bringing it to pass. Going to Him and talking to Him about His greatness and what He will do with His Word. Now, we come with pleading. I've learned this thing. It's like, I don't have to plead with Him.
Amen.
My enemy is the devil. It's not God. I'm not wrestling against flesh and blood. I'm wrestling against principalities. Most Christians are wrestling with God. I'm not wrestling with God. We're on a tag team. Whenever he's the long arm of the law. I can put my hand out and I can be over on the other side of the ring. He can reach and touch my hand and He'll jump in the ring.
Amen.
And He'll slam the devil to the ground. He'll slam sickness to the ground. He'll slam poverty to the ground. He'll do it.
Amen.
But we ain't reaching out to Him. We're acting like, He don't know if He wants to get in the ring or not. You know, He likes watching me get beat up. He's getting a thrill off that guy slamming me on the ground. Jumping off the ropes on me. You go to a lot of those rope churches. God's trying to teach you something, you heathen. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. I want you. Your God's good.
All the time.
Make your words in favor of His Word. Make your words. Stop and think. We do it, and I've done this so many times. Responded too quickly. Didn't stop and give thought to what was in me rather than at the split second of time of what you're thinking of. There's many times I've gotten good counsel when I stopped. I looked on the inside and there was something different than was in my mind. And so take that time. There's many of you right here today. You have faith to accomplish exactly what you want, but you haven't used it. You didn't set it in motion yet. You haven't. You've said all kind of other things. You said all kind of other words that put other spirits in motion. Oh, there's other spirits listening to your voice. They're listening to those things. It just seems that God feeds off of our voice speaking, and the devil feeds off of our voice. See, we need to understand this and its operation. We're saying the right things. Angels respond to the voice of the Word of God. That's what they respond to. When you and I are speaking, angels respond. When Kenneth Hagin talked about finances, he said this. He said, the Lord told him this, you send your angels out to bring the money in. Whose voice was going to send them out? Not God's. Your voice.
Amen.
What have you voiced about the money you need or the things you want? What's your voice? About what you couldn't do or what you're unable of? No. Do you speak concerning the angels? Angels, go bring the money in. That money I need such and such. Go, you go bring that in. Bring that in to me. You go out there. See, we believe in demonic powers having great power and influence over things.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we got, now look at Washington, the devil movement. I always loose angels in Washington. I say, my angels have greater influence than any demon
Amen.
Power. My angels down there are bringing their influence onto things.
Amen.
But you know what? They don't if we don't.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What did you say about your angels? Well, we're just a prayer. And we're just... Well, what you're saying is this, we're trying to make this work.
Right.
No, it works.
Amen.
You command your angels. You say the angels. Say, there's so many of you sitting around and don't have nothing to do. Come over here, we're dead. I want about 200,000 of you be in the Senate tomorrow, okay? All right, get down there with them folk down there. Get down, bring your influence in there. See, we believe in 200,000 demons down here. Why? Because you've watched the demon networks. It's good preaching.
Amen.
And we believe their report. Hallelujah. Remember that song you sing? We believe the report of the Lord.
Amen.
Whose report will you believe? I will believe the report of the Lord.
Amen.
Be good we get singing some of those songs again. In the church. Because
yeah.
We lost those. We lost a lot of faith. Because people are saying a lot of things today. We have a lot of songs that they sing and all. People think they sound wonderful. But I'll tell you what. It ain't done nothing for nobody.
I
don't need another good feel good song. I need a song that inspires me to faith in God. I need songs that Jesus becomes Lord. I want songs that bring strength to it. Not a good gushy feeling. Let's have a candlelight service. No, let's start a fire and burn this place down. Praise God. Father, I just want to thank you today. Most of all, I thank you for the anointing.
Amen.
Lord, there's a lot of things that if I thought about it, I'd probably never say. But the anointing says. Lord, I want to thank you that you say things that I need to hear. That I need to hear. Lord, I want to thank you that you use my voice to inspire me. And I want to thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, shaking us up. Lord God, Lord, you got the poker and you're sticking it in the fire and you're getting those coals back. That stuff on the bottom that's been hot and that stuff laying on top has been keeping the heat away and you're knocking that away. Hallelujah. And you're throwing fresh wood on the fire. You're throwing it on the fire. Hallelujah. Getting this thing burning hot. And I want to thank you. That's what we want. We want to burn hot. Hallelujah. And I just want to thank you for today. Thank you for being so patient and loving for us. Lord, there's a generation in this earth today. Especially, Lord God. We're looking at so many, Lord God, that have been raised up young in this nation. And they have heard almost nothing. And even many of them that did hear anything religious, they just heard a lot of religious jargon. Lord God, we want them to know Jesus. Lord, Lord, you inspired me many years ago concerning this last day generations of young in the earth. Hallelujah. And Lord, I want to thank you. You'll not let this thing go till many of them are going to be in. You're not going to let this thing go. You're going to reach this generation, Lord God, of these young and bringing them in, Father God, stirring things up. They're looking for something. They don't want to hear the same old jargon again about things. Lord, there's so many wonderful things that, Lord, when I came in the kingdom, we heard that have become faded out and left and set aside. But Lord God, bring those wonderful truths back. Lord, it's just like they flock to movies to see supernatural. Lord God, Lord, let them see the supernatural of your kingdom. They'll flock to it. They will run to it, Lord God. When they see that there is a real God that is great. Hallelujah. And not just some, he's nice. Lord God, you're not just nice. You're great. You're marvelous. You're incredible. You're the truth. You're the way. You're the life. Jesus, nobody will come to the Father except through you. No matter what anybody else says or no one, you're the way. And I want to thank you, Lord God. Jesus Christ is going to shine in these last days as the great light, the way, hallelujah, will shine brightly. And many are coming to that light, hallelujah. Father, we're going to rise up by our voice, hallelujah. We're going to set paths for the angels to walk in. We're going to set paths that cause the Holy Spirit to move mightily, hallelujah, by our voices, Lord God. In our speaking and in our doing, your glory will be revealed, hallelujah. And we say thank you for it, Lord God. Your word will uphold us. Hallelujah. Your word will strengthen us and we will not be afraid. We will have no fear of what men can do to us. Hallelujah. Father, we're going to walk boldly. Hallelujah. We're going to speak words boldly. The glorious words of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And we will see those words fulfilled in the earth with our eyes. We thank you, Lord Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Father. We give you glory and praise for all that's done in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.